But what is Moody's Mag? Not man, Moody's man. We're Moody's Marmon.
Yep.
We're Moody's men, but this is about magazine on RTR.
Yakai Alawa, this is Moody's Mag, your 92.1. Jim and Nick. How you going, Nick?
Kaya, Jim, Kaya, listeners, how you going? I'm pretty good for a beautiful day like today.
Isn't it a lovely day out there?
Old Jilba season, yeah.
Jilba season? Tell me more.
That's the second part of winter where the rain still comes, but you see more sunny days and beautiful skies like we're seeing today and hopefully tomorrow and over the next few days.
Well, sounds like you did a welcome to country this morning.
I did do one, yes, and I'd just like to say a cheerio out there to the Guildford Primary School there. They're having their NAILOC week this week, and of course we know the NAILOC week's about our elders and acknowledging our elders, so I've done a bit of a welcome and a smoking and then a bit of a talk to them, to the little Coolangas about who are their elders.
Wow.
And sometimes they're quite interactive. And sometimes, you know, they don't realise that their mums and dads are their elders, but also their teachers and there are other peers and that are around. So it's sort of an intergenerational learning of all those people around us support us and walk with us together as individuals.
Wow. That's inspirational.
So, yeah, just a cheerio out to the staff, the teachers and the Coolangas and even the parents that showed up.
Well, I hope they tuned in because that's a reminder. You and I were elders at NAILOC this year.
Were we?
You and I were on the front stage there acknowledging our eldership and our nomination.
And it's great to get that recognition from the community.
Wow.
And stuff there and stuff. And, it, you know, there's no protest options that I have about who beat me in that thing. And I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that. You're well deserved, Jim.
And, of course, our listeners. Well, let's remind our listeners. It's NAILOC again this week because of the school system. They missed out on NAILOC when it was appropriately held at the right time, first week in July.
Yes.
So some of the institutions are having their NAILOC events this week.
Over the couple of weeks, they're all having their NAILOC weeks. And there's been a few this week that I've been involved with. And it's all about that education and an understanding.
It is great. I mean, I've always said, you know, National Aboriginal and Islander Day of Observance Committee, which is Aboriginal Week, it shouldn't just be the week. So I like it like this. It's spread out a little.
And that helps with the planning and the organisation and the organising because it's, there's everybody wants to do something in the same week. And we're only 3% of the population, so there's not enough of us to go around to all those places.
So true. If you just tuned in, this is Moody's Mag 92.1 and also Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM.
Yes, all the way down in Minang country,
yeah. And talking about Minang, we've got a guest on today who wants to be the mayor of Albany.
Wow.
He's coming on later on the show.
Well, it'll be good to hear him.
Yeah. Wayne Binder's also going to be talking early in the show. Wayne, as you know, Nick, was one of the founders of Moody's Mag and has been around broadcasting forever. I don't think you'd like me saying that.
I know, but, you know, I'm sitting in his chair and I'm feeling uncomfortable in his chair that he created. But I think he's pretty, you know, he's pretty happy with the process of going on and moving on to other places and bring more people, younger generations in. And I'm calling myself a younger one now to Wayne and the likes. Radio.
So we'll get Wayne Binder up shortly after the next song. But also today we're paying respects to one of our elders.
Yes.
That, since last Moody's Mag, sadly he's left us for the spirit world. And we're going to talk about his book,
yes.
Approval from his family to talk about him some more. But some time ago we had an interview with the late Mr. Taylor and the book called God, the Devil, and Me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which may have some bearing and obviously triggers for our listeners because we're talking about someone deceased and someone we greatly respect. He's written four books and featured in a range of other documentaries. And The Habits of New Norcia spring to mind, which was a dreadful documentary about child abuse at the New Norcia Mission.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was privileged to be part of that launching of his book, so it's going to be a great privilege to hear that interview that we'll replay a little later. But we're going to go to a song and talk to Wayne Binder, as I said earlier, one of the founders of Moody's Mag and one of the founders of Noongar Radio, and he's going to tell us what's happening around the world in his wisdom of national broadcasting, but also, more importantly, what he's doing in Geraldton. Let's go to a song. This is Morning Mag 92.98. Sounds like but that's yes. It. They're the mob from brothers Jeff and Jake Fabilla, a proud descendants of the Jabiru Jabiru tribe in the Western Australian Kimberley.
Wow, way up there. Honest, oh, good. There's a beautiful little beat there to and get us joined, into the zone.
And they're joined by their family friend and guitar virtuoso.
Oh, yes.
Felix Fogarty. They connect to their indigenous roots through their music, crafting a contemporary experience influenced by hip-hop, reggae, funk, and sounds from their ancestral Aboriginal culture. And talking about funk.
Funk.
We've got a funky man waiting for us.
Have
Wayne
we?
Binder.
Okay.
Wayne, are you funky?
Oh, I was holding it together and then you made me laugh.
Holding it together? You can't do that, brother. Wayne, how are you?
Oh, look, I'm fine. I'm fine. A bit busy lately.
Yeah, welcome.
Being unemployed and that, but, you know, you get there.
Welcome, Black.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, Black, or welcome back. You've been on the show before. In fact, you were part of Morich Mag.
Yes, he was the foundations. But, Wayne, just to remind our listeners, they may, you know, you may be in the distance past now, but just to bring you back, who's your mob and where you're from?
Oh, okay. Well, look, my mob are from Hollyways. And born in Pinjarra, that sort of area. But yeah, so they're Pinjarra mob, they're Wilman. Then there's Ewart mob up towards Geraldton Way here, Three Springs. That sort of way, yeah.
Lovely. Welcome back to Morich Mag again. Good to have you.
He claiming.
I think on the program.
He claiming.
You're a
he
real
claiming
regular.
All this mob. He claiming all that mob, eh?
No, that's his mob. That's his mob. All connection, yep. They all know him now. When they listen to it out on Yungo Radio, they'll say, oh, that's my mob there.
Oh, because you're married into my mob, aren't I? Hey, Wayne, I forgot about that. Yeah, you were married into my mob. That's right there. Okay, we tend to forget. But never mind. Wayne, welcome to Morich Mag for the 15th time, I think. But it's great to have you on the show, and thanks for coming on Morich Mag to give us an overview of where you're at and what you're doing, because it's always good to talk to you, brother. I think one of the earliest times last year or the year before, you were manager at Fitzroy Crossing, doing some great stuff up there, and the challenges for you around getting broadcasting and language. But that's a pass now, and so tell us what you're up to these days, Wayne. I'm sure our listeners would love to know.
I've just finished work with First Nations Media Australia. I guess, you know, once you're in the business, you sort of tend to be either still in it or not too far from it. And so I've been working with them on online safety the last year, and prior to that there was an audit. I've since left them and then moving back into trying to find some opportunities. Once again, still trying to, you know, do some things in terms of development of First Nations media and broadcasting and that. And I'll probably continue to do that sort of stuff. You mentioned that, you know, RTR a few years back, yes, and you guys are going strong. That's really good stuff. I love being on the program, so great to be here today. But I'm about to go into some further media with the Midwest Aboriginal Media Association, Radio Mama.
Excellent.
Some breakfast programming with them. And some other developmental stuff as well, Jimbo, which could bring us together again for some Honey, your fellows type
broadcast. Oh, yeah. Is that a threat or a promise? Wayne, before you go any further, though, the safety stuff you talked about earlier, remind our listeners, because you did talk to our listeners about that. What was the safety part of the project you've been involved in? Was it cyber safety or social media safety? Or remind me.
Yep. All of the above there. Look, I was working on a project where it was there was about eight sites we needed to go to, a pilot project that was funded where we would go to a community to have a listen to what people were saying, the issues. And, you know, we found out that the issues are romance scams, other scams. We found out that there was also young people recording fights, that sort of thing, and then bringing their town into disrepute, that sort of thing, you know. So it's all very nice and all very trendy and all that sort of stuff and exciting at the time. But when you're you know, filming the fight and then you put it online, and it just makes it look bad in your town. So we're talking about those sorts of things. We're talking about the billions of dollars in scams that go out of Australia each year. And that sort of thing is on the increase. One romance scam, for instance, in a Western Australian town, where a bloke had put in thousands and thousands of dollars. We're talking Aboriginal people in the small community, thousands and thousands of dollars into this romance scam until American Express decided that he no longer should have an account. Plus, all the people around him were saying, look, you can't do this, you shouldn't be doing this. And eventually that was brought to a head, and, they stopped that sort of scam, and he saw the light of day. Another one was a female in a remote community in the Northern Territory, where in South Arnhem Land there, and she was providing money to a romance scam, and she had little kids living in a community too, so there wasn't much money to go around. So it was really an opportune time for that person, the other person, to take advantage of her, because people are lonely. They just tend to get involved in romance scams because they're lonely, and it's really difficult, and very difficult for us as trying to educate people about that.
That's quite distressing. So moving on then, so thank you for letting us know about your previous project, and you're talking about Radio Mama. I just realised the acronym is, Midwest Aboriginal Media Association. Excellent. And what's So
Radio Mama is they've given me an opportunity, start next week to work on some project work for them, plus also some early morning broadcasting, which will get me back into broadcasting for the first time in 3 years. Now, Wongi Radio left them 3 years ago now, Jimbo.
Whoa.
So I'm looking forward to getting back on air, a bit like what you guys are doing. We've all got that little bit of an ego. You probably don't have it, but I do. Bit of an ego to get back on air, and I'm just looking forward to doing that. And so a little bit of broadcasting in the early mornings, and I'm very keen to explore. I have to talk to the manager about that too. Keen to explore some broadcasting with people like yourselves.
Good on you.
And getting the program up here for a start. But
wow, okay.
Mama's got a network in Geraldton, Carnarvon, Mullawar, Mount Magnet, Meekatharra, and Wooloona.
Whoa, you made my head spin. Network, so yeah. You went from Bunuppa Country up to Wongi Radio and now in Yamaji Mama. Next Monday. Yep. Talking about all the Yamaji country, where all your in-laws come from, I guess, and mine too. So, that's a great little network to be involved in. So congratulations on your new appointment. So what are the challenges for you at Mama?
Radio Mama.
Mama.
Well, it's like anywhere, You get to a certain age and you go, oh, do I really want to work? Do I really want to? But you have to work, so that's a challenge. Getting up in the mornings and that. And then you can attest to this. As you get older, you go, you have a little bit of sleep and then you can't have a lot of sleep. But
as long as you wake up, Wayne.
It's still in front of you. So it is very difficult. So the challenge will be to get up and go and do that stuff. But the exciting thing is that I'll be able to do it from anywhere and everywhere, So, as well as the other things you have to do in a radio station as well. So
you said you can do a broadcast from anywhere. What do you mean by that? Is that using technology, phone and recording systems? Can you put it plainly as to so our listeners can understand that? So what you're trying to say is you could be anywhere in the world and you could be broadcasting a show. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, that's what's happening now and everywhere, So it means that, in your lounge room, if we set up the radio studio in there, which is very easy to do these days, using your internet, your Wi-Fi and that,
right.
We could do the broadcast.
Wow. It's a sort of technology you really can't get a grasp on. I'm talking to Wayne Binder, one of the initiators of Munich Mag. If you want to say hello to Wayne, 0405 921 921, 0405 921 921. You might remember him. He was on the show a couple of years back. Or was it that long ago? Actually, I was just looking at our podcast. I think we're up to 121 or something, Wayne. So that's
might have been number five. Or
you might be number five. Let's have a going back a little. Wayne, what else can you tell us about what you've been doing? It sounds really exciting, some of that worthwhile stuff you're doing on social media, safety. And you've been also allocating funds, haven't you, in a national way?
Oh, yeah. Look, I still sit on a board that allocates funds for content with the Community Broadcasting Foundation. But mind you, you know, when you assess grants, you also, you're part of a small team of people, and there's five or six people around the country that are assessing the same grant. So if you're going to reject someone, you know, it's not just you rejecting someone, it's others possibly as well. And it's a score basis. So do that each year. People call upon me. I can never say no, Jim. You know, people call up on me to judge awards and stuff like that in the industry. So I've said yes to another one. So I'll be doing some more of that later in the year. I'm sure these jobs pay, but they don't. You know, you sort of you give up your time for the industry that you're in. But yeah, it's a great industry and an industry that's really changing too. You know. No longer do we need that big flash room. No offence to OTR FM, by the way, there. That big flash room you're sitting in now, we could sit in a corner of your office at your home and do a broadcast.
No, that's good.
Not quite the same, but, you know, you can still do it.
The technology's amazing, yeah. So, look, we're talking to Wayne Binder, a long-term broadcaster around Australia and probably influenced a lot of people around the country too, Nick, delving into this area that one of very few initially.
Well, it's a technology and how do you get out to the broader community and through radio and media and that stuff there. It's, you know, it's a beautiful, beautiful opportunity, but also with the safety aspects that Wayne spoke about with the social media and stuff, then there's no real sort of ethical boundaries around that. Mm. But if our community can understand those ethical boundaries and we can make it a bit more of a pleasant place, but at the moment there's none, so it just gets diluted in such a way. It can be very negative to our community.
With Facebook and social media and that sort of thing, that's really, it's very difficult. I mean, you know, our mob have had just a few short years to get a grasp of the technology, and they're probably using it in the wrong ways in many instances, but a lot of people are using it in the right way to promote their work and their life and all that sort of stuff. So that's the good stuff. Mm. Then there's the other side where people are, you know, accessing sites that they shouldn't be on. They're victim to scams. There's a whole range of things, and our mob are, you know, just as prone as everybody else to, getting caught.
And it's also interesting, Wayne, when you talk about scams. Now, scams go across the broader community, and they have effect and a monetary, dividend to a lot of our people across the communities and stuff there, of how scams are designed to take people's money away from them, and there are, I could say, almost a multi-billion-dollar industry, but we don't hear too much about that in terms of our daily lives and what other things that are happening.
Well, it's certainly increasing, and people are actually doing that. They're taking people's money away, and we talked about, and I know in my workshops I talk about a point where you got to go, is this a scam? Is this going to take my money? You know, there's an action point where you've just got to decide this is a scam, so I'm not going to participate. And, you know, sometimes it's just a simple click on an email or a text, and they've got access to what you get access to, you know. So we've just got to be careful about those sorts of things. But having said that, too, in remote communities, people are using their lending phones to other people. They've got to change their number all the time. And So the people you're talking to, you know, they've got to answer that phone, that strange phone call. We don't, you don't, I don't. And they've got to answer that strange email, if they've got email, because it could be family that have just got a new phone or a new username. So they're at prone, they're at risk to of being scammed.
Yes, there's so many traps there. Yep.
A lot.
No, Wayne, excuse me, I got a frog in the throat. Thank you so much for being available. It's always good to hear from you and what's happening in Yamaji country, being a Super Noongar, Wadandi, Wilman, up in on Yamaji country. So good luck with the production and how you're commencing at Mama Radio next week. Love to hear more from you, and we'll keep in touch, eh?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Hey, look, just a quick one, Jimbo.
Yep.
Very quick. Went to a function down in Perth the other day where there was these different gins on offer, you know, the alcohol drink and that.
Right.
And there was one called Green Ant, and the company, it was the ex-footballer that, Modlop, that owns that company, and there was a Green Ant gin, and there was actually Green Ants in the gin.
Wow.
I know we shouldn't be talking about alcohol on a
podcast. No, we shouldn't.
Like this,
we shouldn't.
It was an interesting experience.
But you also went to a comedy show at the Maddington Football Club. You want to give a shout out to the comedian?
Yeah, is it Fabian? Fabian, last name I can't.
Woods.
Last name at the moment.
Woods.
Yeah, went to that. That was interesting in itself too.
Good.
I went to a couple of funerals in Perth too. Of people
as
I
you
didn't
do.
Know, but it's that's a constant for all of us, I guess.
Mm. Yes.
Okay. So big shout out to Fabian.
One more thing. More thing, Jimbo, please. My sister girl, Laurel Nanup, has got a exhibition. Now, Laurel is in a senior person's home in somewhere around where you live, and but her artwork is on display at the library, the State Library.
Thanks for the reminder, yes.
Which road are you going to take?
So, listeners, if you're interested in some amazing artwork, probably something you would never see elsewhere, get down to the State Library and have a look. I was had the pleasure of going to the launch last Thursday. So get down to the State Library. We've talked to Brett Nanup, the son of Laurel Nanup, who's the artist. Her artwork also features down at Betty's jetty.
Yes.
Or Elizabeth Key, I should say. Anyway, let's go to a song now. And we're going to be talking to Ken Kelly in a little while. He's going to stand for mayor of Albany. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned. Oh, look, I love that song. Kev Carmody there, The Young Dancer Is Dead. Sad song, but it's got a great beat to it. And you got to love Kev Carmody. It's been around a long time.
Oh, it's just beautiful there, Jim. And it has sentiments to that song.
Oh, wow. Powerful. Mm-hmm. Powerful. Yes. And a bit like Deaths in Custody, which is a bit sad too. But it, I guess it's all meaningful for our community to hear those sorts of songs. And how it brings back memories. And that's what we're doing a little later. Ken Kelly's on the line. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Ah, look, we're just too deadly. You know, we're just lucky that we wake up every day. I mean, Nick's about the same age. No, a little bit older than him. And two elders running a radio show on RTR-FM and Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. It's just one of those things. You just really got to be glad that you wake up. So welcome.
Yeah, well, it's an absolute beautiful morning up here in Perth on Wadja Country. And, looking forward to hearing your questions and discussing.
No worries,
what's happening down south.
No worries, and Ken. And then while you're waiting to hear those questions, just for our listeners' sake out there, because we're broadcasting out on Great Southern Radio and also Noongar Radio. Who's your mob and where you're from?
Oh, my mob's from everywhere in Noongar Nation.
There you go.
It depends how far back you want to go, but on my dad's side, we're Kelly Cobbins. My grandmother is Bella Kelly, the artist from Mount Barker. And you go back further on that side, I'm actually related to the Abrahams. So my great-grandmother was Gracie Abraham and my great-grandfather was William Kelly, who were camping in Pumphreys Bridge back down near Nerrigan. On my mum's side, I'm a Williams Haywood. And we come from the Great Southern, the Williams, this probably from the Noongup area. Noongup. Family down in Arrigin and Wagen and all the way across. So extending out, we go back far enough. We go back out towards Northam, York and Northam on the Bennell side, and down to Busselton on the Brockman side, and all the way around. But yeah, it depends how far back you want to go.
Well, that's it. You go a long way back, and just welcome you to Munich Mag. And you know, when you said that name of Renewery Ladder there, Jim's eyes nearly fell off the chair there, but he doesn't realise that, you know, we've got so many connections across our countries,
oh,
and
we're
all interconnected in some ways or whatever. It's great that we can understand and know those connections. But welcome.
I look at it as that, you know, we're all one people, really. We're all Noongar.
Yeah.
The Noongar nation. And that, you know, with the way things are going at the moment, we have to be looking after each other and looking after our kids.
For sure. No, I was delighted that you could come on the program today. And so, summing up then, who's your mob then? I mean, we talked about families. So which clan groups do you connect with? Obviously, Menang and Goreng. What others?
Yes. If I wanted to, I can go across the whole...
A whole lot of them.
Yeah. Wow, okay.
Wadjak, I can go Wadjak. The only one is Nyaka Nyaka.
Good, okay.
Nyaka, I can't.
Naki Naki,
no, good on you.
Naki,
yeah. You just want to acknowledge that mob too. They're probably listening in somewhere throughout the community.
Yeah. I was out there. I was lucky enough to be out at Meriden through the work that I do.
Yes.
And I met the traditional owners and custodians out there. And, yeah, no, it was great.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. Ken, we might come back to that. Look, thank you so much for coming on the show, because you're aspiring to be the mayor of Albany, the city of Albany, and I saw that in the press a couple of weeks back, and I've been wanting to get you on the program ever since. So what made you decide you wanted to stand for politics in the town of Albany, the city of Albany?
Well, we've got a couple of different levels of government. We've got federal, we've got state. And the issue with running in those areas is that your impact in regards to outcomes for your communities is very limited. Because if you go through that, you've got to go through and tow, you know, party policies.
Yep.
You've got to come to an agreement, and the actual outcomes aren't as direct as what they would be at a local level. Mm-hmm. So your impact in regards to outcomes for your community, and in particular your people, is quite direct.
Mm.
Yes.
I guess that speaks a lot about, I guess, the frustrations you must feel then, both at a state and national level, and what we're going through with the referendum, but how much of an impact you could have locally. So obviously the challenges has put you in a position where, well, I want to do something locally. I want to do something in my space. So good on you. Congratulations. That's a very worthwhile initiative to be thinking about. So when does all this happen then?
Okay, but we'll just go back a little bit.
Sure.
So basically, I mean, what I was seeing in the community is that we've got a couple of issues, one at federal level, one at state.
Yes.
The federal is the voice to Parliament.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is the new Aboriginal Cultural Heritage Act that is coming out. But it's not a new act, it's actually an amendment to an old act, which was the Aboriginal Heritage Act of 1972.
Right.
So it's been around for 50 years. And like the media feedback and the social media feedback has had a really negative effect on not only my community, but communities around the country. Not only Aboriginal communities, but non-Aboriginal people as well.
Yes.
I just want to acknowledge that because, you know, we all live in one community. And the issue is that we have people that want to see better outcomes for our people. So, you know, running for this position, maybe give people a little bit of hope, but also something to look forward to.
Mm.
Mm.
We've got the bicentennial in Albany in 2026.
That's only just around the corner too.
So, and I mean, like the successful applicant or the successful nominee for this position will actually be the mayor of Albany in the bicentennial. So, with the current mayor retiring, me and a couple of my mates thought, what a great opportunity to get up, stand up, be counted, and to try and get out there and make a difference. But also, during this bicentennial, it can be divisive. But the other aspect of that, it can be uniting. So depends how you look at it.
Ken, it's a big step for you to take. So I admire your interest in doing this, but what do you want to tell the listeners on Great Southern FM about your challenge and about your inspiration? I don't know whether you've been on Great Southern FM to date, but what would you like to tell your listeners, both Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal, in the Albany region?
Oh, look, I'm going to be having some community information sessions basically over the next couple of weeks leading up to the nomination and then the election period. And basically what I want to do is get out there and listen to what people's concerns are within the community. You know, and I mean, like, the council at the moment has been doing a really good job. What we need to do is see what we can do to improve upon what's happened. There is some feedback in the community that, you know, they want to see a change in council.
Good, good.
And they want to see some new ideas come through.
Right.
So, I mean, look, if I'm not the successful applicant, what I want to see is that the process brings out an applicant that will go through and see some changes being made that the community want.
Mm. Ken, does your...
People coming in and listen, yeah?
Sorry, does your election then enable you to be on council as well, or is this just the mayor?
I'll be taking up the position. It's a paid position.
Oh, okay.
So it'll be full-time. Mm-hmm.
Excellent, excellent. Look, knowing Albany as well as I do, being Menangarang myself, I sat in on a workshop where they talked about dual naming. Must be a good initiative then, and has that gone down successfully to date that you're aware of?
Yeah, it has. And I think, I mean, a lot of other councils and shires around the state are bringing that up as well. And, I mean, that process is also part of the reconciliation process.
Right, right.
So it's a way of acknowledging that there were... The places had names pre-settlement.
Yes, yes,
so
of course.
History goes back. And I mean, at some stage in the future, you know, we'll have one history.
Yeah.
That incorporates everything, which is what we need to work on now.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there can't be any more them and us. It just has to be us.
Right.
Because the reality is we share one history.
Yes.
We have the present now to shape the future, and then in the future... They can look back on the history and say, well, the work that they did those many years ago has, you know, successfully worked towards what we can achieve now.
Well, Ken, that sounds like you have a beautiful vision there, and hopefully, you know, the community can get behind you to work towards that new vision, because, as you mentioned, about the centenary is coming up, and even though... It appears that there's two division stuff there, but we've always been working towards one. And one is our home and where we live and what we share. We have different bringings to here, but also different dynamics to here. But all the common thing is that we all call this place home.
Well, that's it. I mean, like, we're all walking on the same soil that, you know, and our ancestors have walked upon. And we need to see this country in the same vision that they did. Pay respects to it, because if you respect it, it'll give you back what you put into it. So, that's the hope.
I admire your words, and thank you so much for being on the program on RTR FM 92.1, and your voice being heard also on other radio stations in the southwest, certainly Noongar Country, Noongar Radio, and Great Southern FM. Ken, a pleasure. We'll talk some more. And good luck with the campaign, and maybe get you on again to see how you're going with the political manoeuvres you're going to be undertaking within the community. So good luck with that, and we'll talk to you some more, Ken. Pleasure to have you on the company.
No worries.
Thank you, and keep up the good work, eh?
Let's go to a song. Welcome back to Moody Schmair. What was that song, Nick?
That was Sunset, Jim, by Kian.
Yes, as we warned you earlier, we have a voice now from one of our old people that's recently passed on. Have approval from the family to talk to talk to Alf Taylor, rest in peace, and we're talking about God, the Devil and Me. It tells the life and desperation of young children forced into the care of the Spanish nuns and brothers who ran the mission. This is New Norcia. Their lives are made up of varying degrees of cruelty and punishments. As a child, underfed, poorly dressed and missing his family, Alf sought refuge in the library in the company of Shakespeare and Michelangelo. He also, Michelangelo I should say, he writes with joy about the camaraderie of the boys, their love of sport and their own company, but also notes that many descended into. So the book, this chat will include the voices of those who have passed away, so I warned you earlier, and it will include talk about child abuse and neglect, if not. If you're not comfortable, please turn down the dial and perhaps join us a little later. But reintroducing an amazing person who's written four books, and we're going to be talking to Alf Taylor. It's an interview that took place some time back, but we have great pleasure in reintroducing it to our listeners here on Woodich Mag, Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. And talking about Heal the People, we're going to be talking about God, the Devil and Me with Alfie Taylor. Welcome to the studio, Alf.
Yeah, thank you, Jim and
Nick.
Nick, it's great to be here, and like I said, I've finished the book, God, the Devil and Me, and it's online now.
Wow.
Lovely. Just before we go any further, Uncle Alf, who's Uncle Alf Taylor? Who's your mob and where you're from?
Yeah, my mob belonged to the Queermurra mob up around New Norcia, Geraldton, all that way, all Alfred Queermurra come from there, and my mother is a Ngadju from Esperance, Norseman, and way other side of Norseman. And all you Queermurras and Ngadju mob, hello, and I hope you get this book, God, the Devil and Me.
Well, because, I mean, we talk about our listeners here on RTR-FM because we're bringing them good news, a lot of people that wouldn't know anything about Aboriginal issues at all, but we have listeners also on Noongar Radio, Uncle Alf, so they'll be listening to you as well. So it's good to find out a little bit about yourself and where you're from because you're connected to me now.
Yeah.
I'm going to claim you now. I've got connections to Ngadju. So the book, The God, the Devil and Me. Now, that's an amazing title. Tell us why you've written God, the Devil and Me, because I know there's a poem right in the front of the cover, but tell us what inspired you about this book, God, the Devil and Me, because there'll be people sitting out there listening, what is he talking about, God, the Devil and Me? Sounds like the devil's in you. And me.
he's in all of us, as far as I'm concerned. But I've always loved to read and write as a child in the mission. And when I started this God the Devil, but I've written two books of poems and a book of short stories, which was translated into Spanish. And but God, the Devil and Me, I started that 20 years ago.
Right.
And that's like all the time I was working on it, I was working on other books at the same time.
That's unbelievable, 20 years. Let me just go back to this translation in Spanish. Now, why did you translate the book to Spanish when the Spanish were involved in New Norcia, yes?
Well, it's a good question, I guess. It was my way of throwing stones back at the Catholic Church,
tomatoes.
I reckon.
Yes.
But
I just realised what you said then, translated to the oppressors who took our children away and supposedly looked after us at New Norcia Mission. And you translated that because the book has gone to Spain.
Yeah, the book was translated. It's called Long Time Now. It's a book of short stories.
Wow.
About all these Noongars sitting around the campfire on a reserve, having a charge, and all these Noongars out trying to outdo each other on the yarn.
Yes, they do. Look, we might get you to, I mean, I know it's been an amazing achievement, 20 years in the making, and in that time you've written four books, and now you're going to sit down and write another. That's amazing, because I couldn't sit and write myself. I'm battling to sit and read, but so tell us how about read this poem? We might then go to a song, because this is just amazing stuff we're hearing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So read the poem for our listeners. And this is obviously, it's like a title track off an album, isn't it? So here's the title track associated with the book God, the Devil and Me. Here's Alf Taylor reading his poem.
Yeah, God, the Devil and Me. A long time ago as a child in the mission, oh, how I cried when I was told that God and the Devil will always be by my side. I tried to be a good little Noongar boy, but these religious people was always telling me that there was always going to be God, the Devil and me. I've always longed for the bush that I see, but I keep hearing God, the Devil and me. All I want is to be free, free from the mission. With my mother I want to be, but these religious people keep insisting I see God, the Devil with me. I know when I'm in a position to be out of this mission, then I'll be free, free from God, free from the devil. But being told as a child, all I hear, God, the devil, and me. Even today as a man, I can still hear and see those terrible words, God and the devil with me. Thank you.
Wow, Uncle, that's very, very powerful poem, that is, and it's appropriate for your story in terms of coming through the mission and also a lot of our mob that are coming through. We were talking earlier about when you first went to Nenosha Mission and as a 7 or 8 year old, and you were telling me your story, and you're telling me your story that you went out into the fields to work as opposed to going to school to get educated. And it's sort of interests me greatly that you had that knack for writing and how that came about after a while, when you got the interest into writing, but most of your early childhood process was out the field working for the
yeah,
monks.
Not only me, but there was a lot of young Aboriginal children, you know. We didn't go to school when we first went into this mission.
Mm-hmm.
We were sent out. I remember this brother Ildefonsus used to pick us up in this old red Chevy truck, and we were all freezing going out to work, 7, 8, 9 year olds, going to pick up all the rocks and stones and put them in heaps, and so the tractors could come in and, you know, plant the crops and that.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing that for a long time in there. But I've always felt connected to the pencil. When I first learned to read and write, there was a book I don't know whether I stole it off somebody, but it was called Dick and Dora.
Ah, yes, remember it.
And I forced myself upon Dick and Dora.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful.
Well, we're going to get a song shortly, but just a little reading off the back of this book that Mugabala Books in Broome have put out. I've got to read this, Uncle. Alf Taylor writes with energy and vividness and has a superb ability to express things from a child's point of view. This is Dennis Haskell, whoever he is, but he's a critic of your book. Professor. He's a fellow at UWA, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, now, just to remind you now, as a young Noongar child, Alf Taylor was taken into Nenosha Mission, 130 kilometres north of Perth. He grew up at the mission until he left as a 15-year-old, hitchhiking to Coolgardie, this is to find Yanganyu Bob, eh? And then to Perth. Alf, thanks for coming in to talk about your book. We've been hearing some yarns off air about your experiences and what you've been doing and how many more you're going to write, and Mugabala Books is helping you with the publishing of this book. God, the Devil and Me recounts Alf's longing for family and place. Oh, I'm getting all emotional now. The sheer terror of God, a self-disrespect that was belted into him sometimes on frosty mornings, is salvation through discovering writing and the bush, his identity crisis and ultimate wish to become a matador. This memoir, in both gothic horror story and comedy, sometimes both at once, you have to explain that too, and includes Alf's reinterpretation of the New Testament. God, the Devil and Me is an Australian memoir unlike any other. If you've just tuned into Moorish Mag 92.1 and Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM, just been talking to the late Alf Taylor, courtesy of the government, who gave us permission. The government. Courtesy of the family, Nick, who gave us the permission to replay that interview.
Yes, we want to send our condolence and sympathy out to the family because, you know, this old fellow, the gentleman, we just want to respect the work that he's done and the life journey that he's been through and the books and stuff that he's read. And to be coming in and talking to us back at that particular time was very good. And we want to also acknowledging his passing, but also remember that he's given us some very qualitative stuff that we can go forward with to help us understand that healing that a lot of our people have to go through. So condolences to the family, and thank you for this opportunity of giving us to recording this message.
Yeah. Thank you, Uncle Ben, for giving us the authority to do that, the cultural authority, as you've done so with great respect today. So we respect the family, respect that this is a difficult time for those listening, and we always say and acknowledge that we're talking about people that have gone. So thank you. Alf the Great was a great little interview, and it'll be a long time before we get this man. He wrote four books, and we spoke a great deal about God, the devil, and me, and he's institutionalised. Also featured in a book called Habits of New Nausea, film, not book. So that's So it's a very difficult time to talk about someone like that who had a great influence.
But I guess this song that we're going out with, Jim, would hopefully give us a reflection on how this old gentleman's, how much we hold it in our heart of what he's brought to us.
Okay. Look, so if you've tuned in to Moorish Mag, we're going to say goodbye now. I think we're running out of time, and time is gone. Okay.